Hey, good morning. It is Saturday, April the 11th, in the year of our Lord, 2026. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. You know, it's not just anybody I'd be getting up this early on a Saturday to meet with. We're meeting with Jesus, okay? You thought I was going to say I'm meeting with you. Well, it's true. It is you. But really, it's us together with Jesus. You know that he's here, that he is so glad that we're starting our day, that we're kicking off the day in a meeting with him, and then we're going to leave that meeting. We're not leaving him behind. He's going to actually lead us into the day, into this Saturday. And things are going to happen today because of our attunement and attention to him that would not have happened. And they're going to change the course of history in the world. Things will happen this day. Heaven will break in to this day in probably some super ordinary, unspectacular ways, but they'll be filled with the supernatural presence of God. Things will happen. We won't even know about most of them. So, you ready? Wake up. Oh, yeah, right. Consecration. That's it. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead. And Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, as I was saying, I offer my body to you. I just want to keep holding that before us. Get out there and move today. Exercise. Do you know that one of the ways that we offer our body to God as a living sacrifice is by exercising, by moving our body, by getting physically fit as much as we can. It's a form of worshiping God because this is the temple. This is what we have. We don't have a body. We are a body. And this is how Jesus moves in and through us. And some of you I know are thinking, man, my body's in bad shape. And I'm like, well, some people are like, I can't really even get better. I'm reaching an age where I just can't do what I could do before. And I'm like, that's okay, because Jesus can work really well through our weakness. The point is, whatever we've got, wherever we are, let's make our body an offering. Just make it available to him. And just know that he delights to indwell your physical body with his real presence. So today's entry is entitled, Only Two Kinds of People. And our text is Ephesians 1, verses 12 through 14. Hear now the word of the Lord. God's purpose was that we Jews, who were the first to trust in Christ, would bring praise and glory to God. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised, and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. Though diversity abounds throughout the world with nationalities, ethnicities, races, languages, religions, and more, according to Scripture, there are only two kinds of people, Jews and Gentiles, the descendants of Abraham and everyone else. It doesn't mean we ignore all these wonderful, diverse distinctions. We just need to understand a much more fundamental demarcation underlying them all. According to Scripture, God's purpose and plan has always been to save the whole world. After the epic failure in Eden, leading through the flood, and all the way to the fated Tower of Babel, God reset the game board. As he began with a man and a woman in a flourishing garden, so he would begin again with a man and a woman. Only this time, he would begin with barrenness. God began the nation through whom the whole world would be blessed with a couple in their 70s. Attention, Walmart shoppers, let that sink in. He began with a couple in their 70s. Especially want you retirees among us to let that sink in. God's plan was always to craft a people with whom he could dwell, and through whom he could bless everyone else. Jews first, then Gentiles. Every intervening religion and interloping prophet, from Asherah to Aphrodite and Baal to Buddha, are here, are at best, self-help strategies. And at worst, deceptions from the pit of hell. Mind you, I am merely the messenger here. I recognize this is not politically correct, but the last time I checked, the Bible insists that we humbly labor to be theologically correct. Though all people are created equal, all religions are not. To be sure, I'm not condemning the adherents of other religions. I'm simply reporting that, according to the Bible, they already stand condemned. They are terminal. Is this fair? It seems terribly unjust. Think about it this way. If there were only one perfect cure to cancer and it was available to all, would we consider that unjust? No. We would call it merciful and name it salvation, and we would do everything possible to get it to every cancer patient in the world. It would be our gospel. That is precisely my point. The gospel is not concerned with fairness, but with grace. Grace blows fairness out of the water every single time. Fair or not, sin and death are the cancerous facts of the human race. We all have it. Far beyond fair, grace and mercy are the glorious facts of the gospel. We all need it. What if we could see the world and all its people in two categories? those living under the curse of the cancer of sin and death, and those set free from the curse and being cured by the grace of God in Jesus Christ. If we think of Jesus as the cure, we might think of other religions as herbal remedies. No offense intended to you herbalists out there. They may do some good, these other religions, but in the end, they won't save your soul. We need not confront the sick with scorn. We need only present them with the cure, backed up, of course, by the evidence of its working in our own lives. The prayer. Abba, Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who said he came not for the healthy, but for the sick. We want to confess the sin sickness in our own souls. Show us the nature of it and lead us to the cure of your holy cross. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. The journal prompts today. I hope you're journaling. I hope you got your Jesus, your unpuzzled workbook. Or if you don't have that, you just use your own journal. Do you see it as unfair that God provides only one way to be restored to fellowship with him? And what if you thought of it as an extraordinary gift that any remedy or way was provided at all? How does the cancer or sickness analogy help you with processing this issue of fairness and perceived exclusivity? Journal about that a bit. I think sometimes people really get upset when you say there's only one way to God. I mean, we're not making it up. This is what the Bible actually reveals. It's actually a merciful thing to be told the truth. And you don't have to denigrate other religions. It's a simple revealed fact of the Bible. And if you don't believe it, you don't believe it. Just say you don't believe it. You don't have to say it's not true. Just say you don't believe it, that it's true. But it's a mercy. I think part of the issue is we oftentimes feel like maybe everybody's entitled to be cured, to be healed, to be saved. That it's an entitlement, that it's a right. It's not. I mean, maybe in another universe it is, but that's not the universe we live in. We're born into a particularly devastating situation called sin and death. We didn't choose to be. You know, we don't have to find fault. People can be mad at that fact, but it is a fact. That's how you explain the world we live in. It's not somebody else's fault. We all are part of the problem. We all have the problem of sin and death. We are all born, turned away from God. It happened because of our ancient forebears. We've all added to it. We're born into a kind of debt, a real debt. I say a kind of debt. We didn't create the debt. Guess what? We added to the interest of it. I say to my church in Gillette all the time, I said it Easter Sunday. They've gotten so tired of me saying it, they say it with me. I say, he paid a debt. Talking about Jesus, he paid a debt he did not owe because we owed a debt we could not pay. All these other religions are systems and structures and their formats of trying and trying and trying to pay that debt, to reach up to God, to show that we're worthy or deserving. Or only one, in only one does God climb down that ladder. That's Jesus. And we lift him on a cross for it. And God takes what the devil meant for bad and turns it to eternal good. He saves us. And that turns out it was the plan all along. The gospel is amazing. It's amazing grace. We can't earn it. We can only receive it. Well, that's why I'm always encouraging you to share the wake-up call with others, because, you know, that's how Jesus saves the world, not through the wake-up call. It's one person at a time. Wake-up call is just the way we try to meet with them every day. Anyway, you ready to sing Dad's With Me today? We're going to sing a good one. You're going to love it. Well, everybody, who's ready to sing today?
I am, Brother Dave.
Well, gang, I want you to notice something today. Dad has a very special hat on. If you're watching this on YouTube, you can see this. What does the hat say, Dad?
Walt Brothers Farms, I think.
Look at it.
Walt Farms Corn Supper.
Tell them about the corn supper.
Well, we had a corn supper every year. That was Daddy. He wanted to do that. And so if we do what he wants. So we raised the corn, and we'd go out there and pick it the morning before we had to
pull 1,000 ears of corn.
Yeah, and then we'd shuck it and then put it on ice, and the corn supper would start about 5 o'clock. And all these farmers and friends would come out, and we'd just have a big time.
We'd probably have a couple hundred farmers out for
it. Yeah.
Businessmen.
Right. Bankers. We'd have the bankers.
Politicians would come. I remember David Pryor came one year.
Yeah. We had it was depending
on
the
year. Did Bill Clinton ever come to that?
I don't know. He was probably asked, but I don't know if he came or not.
Well, that was a big thing, the Walt Farms Corn Supper.
Yeah.
And I was surprised when you rolled up with that hat on today. I hadn't seen that hat in a while.
Well, that's something that Daddy wanted to do, and he enjoyed
that was a great
doing
time.
It, and I'll always remember it.
Yep, me too. That's a cherished memory. Well, today, of course, we're going to sing about Jesus, and we've already been talking about him on the wake-up call, about how Jesus is, you know, Dad, he talks a lot about, he said, I did not come for the healthy. I came for the sick.
Right. Yeah.
And I like how Jesus, he's coming. He says, I'm coming for sinners. And he's not downrating them as being vile, wicked, bad people. He's saying they're sick.
Right.
And sick people, what they need is what?
Help.
They need a cure. And Jesus is the cure.
He sure is. He's the cure for a lot of things, a lot of problems.
And so tell them what we're singing today. It's a perfect song.
We're going to sing a song that's There Is a Balm in Gilead.
What's their number?
It's 350.
350.
We're going to sing it's just got two verses, and we'll sing them both.
So we'll start with a chorus. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. Sometimes I feel discouraged, and I think my work's in vain. But then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to hear the sin-sick soul.
Verse 2, If you cannot preach like Peter, if you cannot pray like Paul,
you can tell the love of Jesus and say he died for all. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to seal the sin-sick soul.
Amen. Well, that is a classic African-American spiritual song.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an honor to get to sing with you today, Dad.
Well, it was my pleasure.
And it's time. It's going to be a Saturday here on the Wake Up Call, and we're going to send you out into the fields of Saturday. Sometimes you go to different fields on Saturday than you do during the week, and you see different people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just want to encourage you to ask Jesus, say, Jesus, where do you want to go today? I got maybe a little more free time than normal, maybe not, but just ask him where he wants to go and what he wants to do and who he might want to encourage through you, and be listening. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. It's going to be a good day out in the fields, and that's where we're going to be looking for you. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
And I'm David Walt.
We'll see you on the field. Yeah.